Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game here on this Thursday. Hope everybody's had a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, that is me, here on the south side of town in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is holding the fort down in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We always enjoy our visits every Thursday at 1 o'clock with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts. Check that out, and he is on the line with us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good. We had on Sam Smith last hour, who was featured a lot. He's been covering the Bulls for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And we just had him on to talk about the documentary, episodes 1 and 2 of those great Chicago Bulls teams that were put out on Sunday night on ESPN. 3 and 4 will be this Sunday night. If I were to ask you, what documentary or 30 for 30 would you like to see in the hockey world, how would you answer that?
Boy, that's a good one. And I love that Last Dance. I'm sure you guys did too. Those first two episodes were great. There was a really good one that was done on a guy who tried to buy the New York Islanders named John Spano. That was an excellent 30 for 30. That one they actually did do. It was very well done. I have to tell you that I would probably want to see one on some of the the fall of like the Iron Curtain and some of those players coming over. You know, there's a Russian Five movie that's out right now that's really well done.
Yep.
Some guys I worked with did a documentary on recruiting some players from Alexander McGillney from Russia. Like, those things are excellent. Like, I think that more people need to see some of the things that people went through to get guys to come over from the former Iron Curtain. That's fantastic. I would also love to see, like, I really do think that I think the NHL, if they could learn anything from what The Last Dance has done, is that as Crosby and Ovechkin go towards the ends of their careers, there needs to be film crews behind the scenes with those two teams to document the final years of their careers.
I don't know if
they'll ever be anything like Jordan, because you guys saw him. I don't know if there's anybody that competitive anymore like that in a team sport.
Yeah.
But I bet you to see that the final years of those two guys' careers like that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. Maybe in these parts, we'd like to see one on Jim Bosselli and Richard Rodier. Maybe them trying to buy the Predators. Maybe we could get one on that.
Those stories are interesting. You know, I've kept in contact here and there with Richard. He's a really bright guy. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of a debating or negotiating table from him. I don't know Bosselli as well, but yes, I could see that. I'll tell you this: a Vrabel Belichick one might be good in your area too.
Yeah, we're watching the O. We've got ESPN2 on right now. They're showing the 05 NFL draft, and a young Mike Vrabel is one of the analysts as a player. And they're breaking down some of the picks, which is pretty interesting to see 15 years ago. But that's a good one, too. Yeah, you've thrown out some really good ones. What else was thrown out yesterday is you said the neutral site deal is dead.
Yes.
But there seems to be a plan B.
Yeah, the plan B, it looks like it's going to be a situation where teams are going to be getting together at a certain location, maybe one per division. I think that's the hope. I think that Edmonton might be the Pacific one. I think they've got a chance. I know there's been some talk about Raleigh as the one for the Metropolitan Division. You know, Don Waddell told one of their local reporters, he's the GM in Carolina, that there might be a concern about having their practice facility was supposed to be completed, but the COVID-19 shutdown has affected the construction. So there's less certainty there now. So they're not so sure it's going to be Raleigh. I think that Minnesota or Dallas might end up being your divisions. And I'm really not sure yet what they're going to do in the Atlantic, where Toronto, where I live, is. I think, you know, I thought Toronto might be a site, but A, I'm not sure our government would allow it, and B, you know, this is a pretty big city. I don't know if they're going to be able to quarantine guys easily enough or quarantine certain areas easily enough to do it. So I'm not sure what they're going to do here, but I think that is what they're looking at. And I think that's what they're going to do in terms of, if they can, they're going to have the teams play at these four or so different locales and finish out their regular seasons, hopefully, and then move on to the playoffs.
Interesting. Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, as you take all this in, was this what we're hearing now? Is that more plan A? Has that been plan A all along, rather than the North Dakotas and some of the more remote locations?
I would hesitate to say it was plan A all along. I think that one of the things we've learned is that we've got to be flexible and adaptable, because we just don't know. Like, everything sort of changes almost on a daily basis, right? So I think it's hard to know for sure if it was plan A. Like, I do think they looked at the possibility of going to some neutral sites and they spoke to some people about it. But, you know, they just didn't have the infrastructure, whether it was arenas or hotels, that they wanted to do. And I think it became, you know, pretty apparent that they were going to have to go to NHL cities and facilities. So I think right now, I guess you could call it now plan A as much as you can have a plan A. I just think that, you know, one of the things that they've kind of said is that, you know, nothing can really be etched in stone. So it's kind of like, if this is the situation, we'd like to do this. So as I'm talking to you guys at 1:09 Central Time on Thursday afternoon, I think this is what they'd like to do, but we don't know if this is what they're going to be able to do. You know, we're still at the mercy of the virus and what the various governments and professionals allow everybody to do.
One thing we kicked around yesterday as we were reading about this, Elliot, is how different the layout is, you know, with cities like a city like Raleigh, as opposed to,
yep,
Dallas, as opposed to Minnesota, as opposed to Edmonton, whatever city you want to throw out there, all of the layouts, having been to all these towns, you know, proximity of where most teams stay to the rink, where is the rink located? Is it right in the smack dab in the middle of downtown, or is it out away from downtown? All of those were different. I didn't really get a connecting thread between some of the cities. So what is the criteria that the league is looking for?
I think the connecting thread is, guys, is, you know, what does the map look like in terms of the curve, the projections, how many cases you have? You know, for example, I mean, knock on wood, Edmonton up here, it's been one of the cities where we've had fewer cases. They're doing a lot of testing in the province of Alberta, which Edmonton is the capital of. And, you know, Edmonton's got a brand new rink. It's beautiful. It's state of the art. They have hotels that basically are right there. You know, between all of that, the fact that there haven't been a lot of cases, the fact they're doing a lot of testing, the fact they have a state of the art arena, and the fact that they have hotels and everything right there, I think that whole package is, you know, hey, that's a good place to go if we decide that that's what we're going to do. You know, for example, another arena I haven't heard, and maybe it's not because they're not thinking about it, but I just haven't heard it, is Buffalo. Buffalo's another arena. It's got a lot of dressing rooms. It's got a hotel right next door. It's got a practice facility right next door, but it's in the state of New York. Now, it's still a long drive away from New York City, which has kind of unfortunately been the epicenter of all this. But I can see the NHL saying that the state of New York is not the right place to go now. So I think the key thing becomes, A, you know, how many cases are you looking at in your state or your area or the region that we want to go? Does it make sense to go there with what the situation is? And from there, let's look at how good is your arena? How many dressing rooms do you have? How many hotels do you have? Do you have the infrastructure for 7 or 8 teams? So I think it kind of goes in that direction.
I noticed in your last podcast, you caught up with one of our favorite people here in Terry Crisp, who I would always contend is the best storyteller that I think I've ever heard over the long term, right? More stories. You don't hear repeat stories. We think he's fantastic. So where did you go with him?
Well, there were a number of things we did. You know, I give credit for Jeff Merrick, my co-host. He's the guy who really pushed for Terry to come on. And let me just say, not that I didn't want him to come on, but, you know, Jeff really pushed for it. And, you know, it was good. Like, we talked about how, you know, the good line about Terry Crisp is that Bobby Orr is the best player ever to come out of Parry Sound, Ontario, but Terry was the first. And, you know, he kind of laughed when he was reminded about that. He liked that line. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, Bobby Orr's famous goal. Terry was playing for the St. Louis Blues at the time. And you know, Terry kind of talked about how he was supposed to be in that picture. And he was supposed to be the guy covering Bobby Orr. But he got off the ice and Bobby Orr scored, so he never got to be in the picture. And Jeff also has a book by Terry Crisp, won a couple of Stanley Cups with the Philadelphia Flyers. And the coach of that team, his name was Fred Shiro, the late Fred Shiro, Ray Shiro's father. And, you know, Fred Shiro wrote in his book that as they were wrapping up one of those cups, he was putting guys on the ice who probably didn't deserve to be out there, but he wanted them to be a part of it. And Terry was glaring at him on the bench, like, why are you putting that guy out there? And that was pretty good, I have to say. He was laughing hard at that too. But, you know, at the end we gave, you know, if you guys really think about it, you know, Terry began his hockey career almost 50 years ago. He's coming up as almost 50 years professional, or 50 years since he left junior to kind of go. And, you know, it's had an incredible career as a player, played in the NHL. He won multiple Stanley Cups. You know, he went to a Memorial Cup as a head coach. He won a Stanley Cup as a head coach, the first coach of the Lightning. And now, you know, he's helped introduce hockey to Nashville, him and Pete Weber. And now, Willie, you guys are all part of this broadcast team. And it's a really respected broadcast team, you know, with you guys there and you know, Brent Peterson and Lindsay and Hal Gill and now Chris Mason carrying on the tradition. And if you think of his career, I mean, it's almost 50 years now. It's pretty incredible. He's been a huge success as a player, a coach, and now a broadcaster. You know, it's a Hall of Fame career if you really think about it.
If they're not telling stories a long time from now when we're probably all gone and they don't include what you just said, Terry Crisp and Pete Weber to the fabric of hockey in this market early on, Barry Trotz and Brent Peterson deserve a ton of credit because all of us were, most of us didn't grow up with hockey. We were, you know, we chose to learn it and follow it and love it. Those guys were a big, big part of it because there were so many people in this market that enjoyed it, but, or were scared because they're like, I don't know it. I don't understand it. And so they were scared. And those guys were huge into getting people involved in learning and teaching. And it's amazing to what it's morphed into today. But Willie and I remember both because we were covering it from the get-go. And Pete Weber and Terry Crisp and Barry Trotz and Brent Peterson were a big, big part of helping this market grow.
Absolutely. 100%. I could. And, you know, like, I think that as the league has gotten bigger, and it's, you know, it's, I think in a lot of ways it's gotten better. the people who opened up the doors into new markets, they deserve credit for that. You know, that, you know, somebody has to be first, right? And somebody has to, as you said, do the introductions. And they did it. And that can never be forgotten.
Elliot, a cool story that Chase has heard us tell before over the years is, what was this, year one, Willie? I don't remember the year. Was it 98 or 99? Some, I don't remember the year. They did it in the very, very early stages. They decided to do a media skate. Barry Trotz and Brent Peterson at the coaching staff, okay? And to have us media out there and to kind of put us through a workout. Well, most none of us could skate. You know, I'm on the wall. Willie's on the wall. Yeah,
picture,
we're all falling around.
Picture table hockey.
Yeah, it was it was pathetic. But there was one media member that we still to this day cannot remember who it was that was the show-off, right? The one that could just get out there and do circles around everybody and has been clearly skating their whole life. Well, because they were a show-off and they were showing off that entire practice, they ended up taking a tumble into the net, and it was a serious injury. They had to be taken off the ice. On a stretcher.
I think he broke his collarbone.
I think he broke his broke his collarbone, and that was the last time they ever did that, Elliot. Imagine that.
That was it.
Well, knowing David Paul, he's probably worried about liability.
believe me.
You know, the only thing I don't believe about that story is you don't remember the name of the person who did that. You're just doing a really nice job of not embarrassing. No way. You know, and you just don't want to embarrass them, and that's good on you.
Elliot.
Can I tell you a similar story?
Sure.
So I started covering a lot of basketball, and the first ever general manager of the Toronto Raptors was Isaiah Thomas, who was one of the greatest basketball players ever. And he brought us once to a gym, and he was going to show us like a scouting tape. And he wanted to talk about, you know, just how, you know, some things to learn about to cover the NBA. And we were fooling around with basketballs, and I was okay. And he walked right up to me, and he says, "I want to see you shoot." And in front of one of the greatest players ever, I completely choked. I threw up an air ball. And he never let me forget it. Because, like, he came up right next to me, and he goes, "I want to see you shoot." And he had that smiling assassin smile, and he was staring right at me, and I completely choked. So I get this. The guy who fell into the net, I empathize with you.
Great story. I don't think you've told us that one before. That's good.
I don't like to admit that one too often.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet, and I'm just curious. David Poile brought this up on one of the Zoom calls that he's done, one of his press conferences, that he's going to pay close attention to tonight's NFL draft to see how they handle it from a virtual standpoint in case that's what the NHL has to do. Number one, how closely are you going to pay attention to the NFL draft tonight because of that? And do you see that being a possibility whenever the NHL does have their draft?
Well, I think it's – first of all, I'll be watching tonight, like – hey, guys, we need something to gamble on, right? So I'm gambling on.
Yes!
Like, I took some action to before the fifth pick or after.
Some
action on that.
Did you do before or after?
I took over, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I just don't know if someone's going to be able to trade up who wants to get them, right? So, but also besides the odds – the odds are set up that the payout is better if it goes after five. I didn't put a lot of money on this one, but I'm looking at some other prop bets to do. So I love to gamble, and I need to gamble, so I'm going to be all over this draft tonight.
Elliot, we might be talking later.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, like, the other thing, too, is that I'm going to watch it because I'm a sports fan. And you know what, guys? Honestly, I hope it goes great. I really do. I know people are watching this like some people watch automobile races for the crashes. I know some people are looking at it like this. I hope it works. I think more likely than not, guys, the NHL draft is going to be like this year. That this is the kind of thing we're going to be seeing. And if you've been following the reporting this week, you know the NHL is considering doing it in June before the season ends. And I think it's much more likely than not, if not 100%, that we're going to be doing it the same way this year.
Yeah, and we've talked about those reports a lot, and I guess the big question for us is how to get the draft order, because the season won't be done yet. So I guess that's something that you're going to be paying attention to here in the coming weeks if they do, in fact, decide to keep it in June.
I think that the most likely scenario is that it's points percentage, guys. So you can figure that out pretty easily. You guys would be about the middle of the pack. I think one of the most interesting things they're going to do is how are they going to fiddle with the odds? Because, you know, if they're going to have more teams make the playoffs this year, which I think is their goal, to go over 16 if they can, you know, those teams that will be able to compete in the playoffs and be eligible for the lottery, will they change their odds? That's one of the things I'm curious about. But I think it's most likely going to be points percentage.
Interesting. Elliot, if you also want some good quotes about Terry Crisp, you should talk to Brett Hall if you want him to talk about Terry as a coach. Brett will be more than happy to open up about Crispy, and especially
the
days in Calgary.
Yes.
He won't hold back?
I'm sure he would.
Yeah, it's some pretty. I was watching it, just stumbling across it, and it was Joe Buck when he had that show. I don't remember what it was called, Undisputed or something. And it was just, you know, what we've seen Bob Costas and others do, just kind of a sit down in front of a live audience. And it was Brett Hull. And I started watching. And the next thing you know, Terry Crisp gets brought up. And then Brett Hull and I just start recording. And I recorded it. And I ran into Terry the next home game and downstairs. And I said, Terry, come here. I'm going to show you something. And we sat there and had a good laugh about him. Pete Weber, of course. And then just like what Willie brought up, then Terry just goes into story after story. It's unbelievable. He's just like you wind him up and you just let him go. He's never ending with stories. It's unbelievable. But Brett Hull, he did not hold back on Terry.
No, I've got to go look this up now. I'm going to have to check it out. I don't remember it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to – was it pro or con?
Well, he does, for the goodness of, and, you know, I'm glad that he did, because anybody who's been around Terry, yeah, he may have been a hard-nosed coach, you know, he may not have, but, you know, if you know him now, which clearly Brett and Terry do, you know, he said, look, I love Terry today, but back then I hated the man. I hated him. You know, he was just talking about how Terry pushed him, you know, when he was a player early on in his career, and he said he was the meanest person he's ever come across in his entire life.
Wow.
And yeah, he just goes on and on and on. But it was pretty interesting to hear him talk about those early days and how he ended up in St. Louis. So, yeah, you want to check it out. It's pretty good. Thanks for doing this, as always.
All right, guys. Have a great week. I'll see you next week, okay?
Continue to be safe. Thanks for doing this.
You too, guys.
All right, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet. Always good to catch up with him every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Also check out 31 Thoughts. It's always a good read. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Good stuff, as always, from Elliot Freeman. And while we were talking with Elliot, guys, did you see where the mayor of Nashville, John Cooper, has released a four-phase plan for reopening Nashville?
Yeah, I saw that earlier today that it I haven't looked at it in detail because, you know, obviously we've been doing the show, but I know that it looks like it's going to be a nice little process. But
well, you want to go over it real quick?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this was indeed released while we've been on the air, so we haven't had a chance to get into that or really talk about it. But here's what John Cooper put out. Phase one. Now, it says if there is a positive improvement / stability of metrics for 14 days, then that's when they're going to start phase one. Okay, phase one is for the residents. Age 65 and up are high risk and they need to stay at home. All work from home if possible. All residents wear masks in public. Schools closed. No gatherings over 10. Okay, that's for the residents. Restaurants and bars serving food. Open at half capacity. Clean all surfaces after every use. Employees screen daily and required to wear face mask. Bar areas closed and no live music. Bars and entertainment venues closed. Retail stores and commercial businesses open at half capacity. Employees screen daily and wear face mask. Nail salons, hair salons, massage places, etc., still closed. Healthcare and dental, routine and elective procedures under 70 years of age. Employees screen daily and wear a mask. Gyms and fitness centers closed. Playgrounds, tennis courts, basketball courts closed. Sports venues closed. So that is phase one, according to Nashville Mayor John Cooper. Phase two, everything stays the same on residents except for the small gatherings up to 50. And this is for meetings, religious services, weddings, etc. Okay, same deal. If there's a positive improvement / stability of metrics for 14 days, then they move into the next phase. That's going from 1 to 2. Restaurants, bars serving food, open at 3/4 capacity. Let's see, everything else will stay the same, including bar areas closed and no live music. Bars and entertainment venues still closed in phase 2. Retail stores, commercial businesses open at 3/4 capacity. Everything else remaining the same. It's about employees being screened daily and wearing face masks. So that's the theme on that. Hair salons, nail salons, massage places, etc. They will be open by appointment only. No walk-ins. Limit the number of staff and customers to 10. And same thing with employees. Healthcare and dental, same thing, except for then it'll be for all age groups, not under 70. Gyms and fitness closed. Playgrounds, tennis, and basketball courts open with social distancing. Sports venues continue to remain closed. So playgrounds, tennis courts, basketball courts. So in other words, your parks open with social distancing in and phase two.
I bet it'll be very difficult to get an appointment to a hair salon.
You better have an in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're just going to randomly try and you're like a new customer, good luck. Because they're going to take care of their regulars first, right? So if you're not, you better have a regular place,
right?
Or it's going to be a while.
Well, you guys remember, and I fully admit the mistake that I made of growing my hair out. It was actually 1 year ago today that I cut it. So I saw, I had like in my memories, a picture of me going to get my hair cut, which I'm very, very glad that I did. But yeah. I might look like that again when this is all over.
You could. All right. Phase three. Let's see. Okay. All residents. So on the residents, non-residential K through 12 schools can reopen. Gatherings up to 100 for meetings, religious services, weddings, etc. So those are the changes for phase three, and also work from home if possible for phase three. Restaurants and bars serving food, open at full capacity. Clean all services, employee screen daily, same deal, wear a mask. Bars open at 50% capacity. No standing at bars, live music permitted. So that's the first time that'll be phase three before we see something like that. Bars open at half capacity, no standing at the bars, and live music permitted. Bars and entertainment venues open at half capacity. Remember, the first one was restaurants. So this is just bars and entertainment venues, including, let's see, open at half capacity, includes tours, museums, theaters, etc. Same thing with employees and cleaning the surfaces. All right, retail stores, commercial businesses open at full capacity. Same thing with employees. Nail salons, hair salons, massages open by appointment only, no walk-in, so same there. Limited number of staff, so looks like it remains the same. healthcare and dental remains the same. Gyms and fitness centers open. Employees, clean equipment, same stuff. Playgrounds, tennis, and basketball courts open with social distancing. Sports venues still closed. And finally, phase four. Looks like everything stays the same on residents. Restaurants and bars serving food open at full capacity. Looks like they're just open at full capacity. Okay, same. All the other stuff remaining the same. Bars and entertainment venues open at full capacity. Retail stores open at full capacity. Nail salons, hair salons open by appointment only. Still no walk-ins. Okay. Healthcare, same. Gyms and fitness open. Looks like, okay, sports and large event venues open. Employees will be screened daily. Employees will wear mask. Or employees wearing mask is optional but recommended. So there you go. It'd be phase four.
But sports and live performance venues would be reopened, but yep, only with appropriate social distancing guidelines. So phase four is not a full reopening in terms of, you know, what we've been talking about with, you know, stadiums with fans. So there's a lot of detail in there, guys, and I have I've been looking at it as, Darren, you've been reading it. There's a couple things that to me are key points. Number one, that what the mayor has avoided putting out there at all is any dates. And I think that's a really smart thing.
Yeah,
right?
I
we
agree.
Can't shoehorn all these things into a specific date because we just don't know where it's going to go. So data will determine when they're going to go into these phases. I think that's a smart choice. You also have to, you know, be aware that you might have to go back a phase, right? If you have the wrong thing happen, and hopefully it won't. But I do think that there's a lot of thought that's gone into this, and I like that they've done that. But they're going to rely on the data to be able to tell them when it's time to move forward with this. And this to me is probably going to be different than some other areas of the state, right? I think we could say it's safe to say that.
Well, what I want to know is, when is the clock on the 14-day period start for phase one? Has it already started when the governor made his statement? Is it just starting today because this four-phased plan is out there? Like, when is the clock on the 14 days of, you know, positive improvements and stability with COVID-19 to start phase one? Now, when does that clock start? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's pretty clear. Whenever you have a 14-day downward or stable trend in new coronavirus cases. So that could be starting today. It could be you. It's like a 14-game hitting streak, right? It could start anytime. Maybe they're already in a 3-day hitting streak.
Say,
I don't know.
They start earlier
I don't
week,
know what
yeah.
the data is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. Maybe we're already starting, but you got to start over if it goes down. So the other thing that is something that I would really like to know that I don't see discussed in here is, it does have it in here. Metro officials say Nashville is currently able to conduct 5,000 tests per week, consistent with the common benchmark of one test per 100 to 150 residents. So that's got to be part of this too, and that makes a lot of sense because, you know, the number of tests, I think I read this morning that the entire state has only conducted 115,000 tests, which is increasing, but if you think about the percentage of people that have been tested, that's so low, right? We've got to get that number up. That will help us achieve this, you know, 14-day downward or stable trend. The two have got to go hand in hand.
Yep.
And they mentioned this too, the tracing part of it, the healthcare system capacity, all of those things are essential, right? We have to make sure that when we move forward that the hospitals don't get overwhelmed, right? We've got to make sure that we've got the right space, the right personnel, so we can handle the continuing fight.
So in phase one, when you see retail stores, commercial businesses open at half capacity, restaurants and bars serving food open at half capacity, how is that determined? Is that like a fire marshal, like everybody's assigned a number?
That's another thing. As you were reading that I was thinking about is who is enforcing this.
Well, and how do you
determine how much are they enforcing?
Yeah, how much do they determine what is half capacity and how is that being enforced?
I think some of this is
going to have to
be
a good honor system for sure, and you're going to have people really looking out and trying to do the right thing here, because it's not like you're going to have the fire marshal come in there. They don't. There's not enough fire marshals, right? There's going to have to be some common sense and a willingness to do your duty, right? And do the right things. But that's going to be tough. We're all going to have to band together and understand that there's a reason why they're putting these guidelines in there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't suggesting the fire marshal go around.
It's a really important part of the equation, right? Because who's looking out for the people for their own good, right? If a restaurant owner, let's just say, you know, restaurant X says, you know what, we got a huge group of people, they want to eat. We need business, right? Here they come.
Sure.
And so it's going to be tempting for a lot of these places to say, hey, you know, business times have been tough. We haven't been open in a while. We got a chance to get a big crew in here.
Sure.
Somebody's got to do the right thing and say, we got to do this right. Right. We don't have the capacity here. That's a tough call.
You're right. It is going to be a lot of the honor system, which, you know, that's what it's going to be. I mean, there's no way to regulate and monitor all this stuff closely. I was just kind of curious, you know, for the ones that want to play by the rules, like, because we've done enough of these player shows over the years at venues, and we know, you know, right, you always hear, oh, the fire marshal is here, they shut us, because they're all like assigned a number, right? So isn't that how it works? A business is assigned a number of, like, what's capacity, especially restaurants and bars. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can find what that capacity is.
Really?
You know, they'll have
public record.
Yeah, or they have. I mean, I've been in some places where it says max, you know, occupancy or whatever, and it has the number.
Probably comes with the license, right?
Yeah,
it's probably something you have to display.
But and my thing on all of this is, and this is what everybody, including myself, you just have to do. This is a great thing. This is a good plan that he's laid out. That means we're trying to get back, but, you know, don't force government officials to shut everything down again because numbers go up, and that's what you have to. That's where the honor system comes into play. I mean, yeah, this is the new normal. The old way is not going to be back for a while. Everybody just needs to accept that. So when they do open the bars and everything on Broadway, don't flood Broadway.
Don't get too eager. And it is explicitly pointed out in here about the 14-day downward or stable trend in the new cases. So if you have this, right, you have the 14 days, we start. We go into phase one. If there's an increase in active cases, they will pause moving forward and revert to an earlier phase or reimpose stricter social distancing guidelines. And that's what we don't want to have happen, right? That's why we have to do exactly what you're saying, Chase.
Yep. I mean, look, I read that, and when I was listening to Darren talk and reading it like you were, Willie, I'm thinking to myself, well, looks like I'm doing my show from the office for a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. But look, there's another, you know, these are all just, I'm throwing out silly questions because I honestly don't know what the answer. So the first three phases were residents, they're basically asking you wear a mask when you're out in public, which I agree with, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm trying to shed a little light and just ask a question that I don't. So how does that work? If you go out to a restaurant, if you're going out to the bar to go drinking, wear a mask? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you just lift it up when you take a drink.
So you just lift it up every time you take a drink? And you, what do you do when you're – just every time you take a bite? I mean, how does that work?
You got to do it.
I mean, I guess – you know, if you're sitting at a table, especially if they're half capacity, and you have it lifted up just over your mouth so you can eat, you're probably not doing a ton of harm. Because if everyone's practicing social distancing and you're at half capacity, like I said, then it's probably okay. But, yeah, I mean, that's essentially what you're going to have to do.
And the, maybe bring the motivation is we don't want to go back, right? If we get to this, that's a step forward, and I'll do what I've got to do to stay.
Yeah, no, I'm not poo-pooing.
You know what I mean?
Just
no, I know it's going to be inconvenient, right? It's going
to like wearing a mask to work out at the gym. Like that's going to be a little bit weird, right? You're wearing a mask while you're huffing and puffing. At least I
yeah, that's I huff and puff. That won't be easy.
Hey, and you know what? Get you a second mask because you're going to get the first one all sweaty.
All sweaty.
You, put the backup on.
Have your workout mask and your
daily
routine mask.
That's right.
Have your driving mask. Have your walking mask.
We will have
all the masks.
A situational mask, won't we?
Yes. We'll get you we'll get you an ESPN 1025 The Game mask that you can wear.
I think, quite honestly, and I hope our sales department is listening to this, I think we need to start selling advertisement on our mask.
That's a great idea.
Right? That's what we need to do.
That is
we
a great idea.
We need to sell advertisement on our mask.
Our GM, Dennis, is listening and probably just, you know, flipped over his coffee table trying to run across to the phone to call
I hope
call
Matthew
people.
And Dennis heard that.
Yeah, I do too.
And Ryan, if you're listening, I hope you jotted that down too. Let's sell advertisement on our mask. All right, we'll come back and we will wrap up Thursday's show. We'll do that next. Yeah, that happened a year ago. It certainly made its rounds. Oh my goodness, too much fun.
I feel like I just found out about this.
Did you guys know? I didn't know.
That was great. That was the best line.
I'm still trying to figure out what was the why did she feel the need that she was not, she's going to punish her husband by not watching football this season because
you only get married once.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's his fault that they had the draft.
I was gonna say, but this is about how is that his fault that they're having the draft and that's where they chose
it's not his
to
fault.
Go have her.
And if I'm him, I test the theory, you know, and be like, "All right. Well, that's fine. You can say that all you want. I'm still going to watch football."
I hope the bride to be is happily married though and their first year of marriage has gone well.
What do you think the odds of that are?
I don't know.
Let's assess those odds. By the way, we learned something about Elliot Friedman today.
I know.
He likes to gamble.
I like it. I heard from my friend that also likes to gamble, and he was very, very happy to know that about Elliot. So,
he said he is doing some prop bets.
I might dabble tonight. We'll see.
I'm not sure I love his prop bet of under for Tua. Like he's going to go later than five. I
don't like that.
I don't like it. Guys, there's
some said over. I couldn't tell if he was meaning over like in before five or over meaning past five.
Yeah, I'm thinking past five. That's the way I took it. Did you guys take it that way? I took it past five.
I couldn't. I don't know. I could make an argument for either way. So I'm not sure which way
he
went.
I'll have to go look at the verbiage on
And what happens if it's exactly five? Push?
Yeah, that's probably a push.
Yeah, probably a push. This came out like right as we were talking with Jim Wyatt, and no way I was going to bring that up with Jim Wyatt, being the diehard L.A. Dodgers fan that he is. But have you guys seen where Vin Scully, 92-year-old Vin Scully, has taken a fall at his home?
I did
see that, and I'm optimistic because it says he's resting comfortably at the hospital, and he has been even quoted. So hopefully he'll be okay. But 92 years old, you hate to see that, but that is I'll tell you, I have so much respect for that guy. He, if there's something that pops on where he's announcing, I can watch. You know, it's like it could be a random game of the week from the mid-80s, and I will watch it because he is a guy that just has always mesmerized me.
When I was doing overnights, which was like my first full-time gig at the station, I would come in, you know, around 11:30, and we had the baseball package in the studio, and I would always watch the Dodgers just so I could listen to Vin Scully call the end of a game.
I could always flip on a late-night game where he was doing it, even if I didn't have – a Dodger pitching in my fantasy league or anything like that. It always helped, but.
And there we go.
You'll always remember.
Do we think any of those ladies walked in to watch a baseball game in 2016 with their husband and said, when did Vin Scully start doing these games?
Probably.
In his 67th year. That's not an exaggeration, by the way. Hey, he called games for 67 years. It's crazy.
Tonight at 6 on Facebook Live, we'll be doing some coverage for the draft. And so you can check that out. Looking forward to that. And also, we haven't mentioned this yet, but it's been a big day for me on Twitter. I got tweeted by Stone Cold Steve Austin and followed by Vern Fiddler. I've had a great day.
Really? Why'd you get followed by Vern?
I don't know. He's on
just because
he's on Twitter now. Yeah, and I got the follow.
Okay. Music means we are out of here. Pay attention to the weather. Pay attention to the draft. Pay attention to the weather. Okay. Two big things you need to pay close attention to here tonight. That'll do it for our show. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.